Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Howard Sinn and Tom Higuchi from Panasonic, and we're going to talk about wide bandgap semiconductors in general and gallium nitride in specific. Hi, guys, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for having us here. Yeah, we are great you invited us here for this. Interesting discussion today. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that everybody and their brother is talking about wide bandgap semiconductors, and right off the bat, it's not just one product. There are two specific chemistries that people are discussing, silicon carbide on the one side and gallium nitride on the other. Some are doing gallium nitride on silicon carbide, but in general, the physical issues of silicon carbide are different than the physical issues of gallium nitride, and you gentlemen are working in gallium nitride, so we'll restrict our conversation to gallium nitride.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Yeah.
So now, just in a nutshell, though, just to get our readers and audience up to speed, can you give us some of the basic differences that are specific to gallium nitride that are challenges to the engineer?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know the engineer now waiting the real gallium nitride devices, which is able to go to the mass production.
Right. So they're looking for gallium nitride devices that can go into mass production.
No, instead only for the laboratory test. Yeah. But gallium nitride have two major challenges. Yeah. Based on the normal gallium nitride behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one, it is normally on device itself.
So one of the challenges is that gallium nitride is normally on.
Yeah. Normally on devices must change to the normally on device. This is the first challenge. Yeah. Second one, it is collapse free. Yeah. Current collapse free. Yeah, this is also the the continuously switching the time, the RDS on will increase, and then finally to damage the devices or something.
So the RDS on actually changes in the device.
Yeah, we have a very nice history of the compound semiconductors, mostly the 20 years. Yeah. Not only the gallium nitride itself, the design, but also we have the 20 years compound semiconductor the histories. Yeah, so which is dual wavelength the laser program unit, and also the gallium arsenide, this kind of the devices, we have accumulated a lot of know-how there.
So you've got a lot of history in compound semiconductors, gallium arsenide and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the reason why now Panasonic can solve these two major issues, right?
Right, so and how, can you talk about how they're solving these issues?
Difficult to explain.
For the normally off. Power electronics engineer, power supply engineers, you need to work with something that is normally off, just like a normal silicon MOS. Yeah. So how Panasonic actually solve it is we use a new technology which is called the gate injection transistor technology, whereby we add the P-type aluminum GaN layer just below the gate electrodes, and with this we create a new conductivity modulations between the interface of the GaN and AL GaN in our structure. And we have this technology of creating this normally off device through this gate injection technology fabrication.
Well, because of this switching issue, you hear a lot of companies talking about using cascodes instead in the circuit designs. Mm-hmm. How would you contrast that approach from your approach?
Tom has mentioned earlier, GaN by itself is a normally on device. That's why we need the normally off device.
Right. Mm-hmm. So essentially, isn't a cascode solution also normally off?
I would call it the pseudo normally off, and I think, Alex, you should find a new name for them. Yeah, it should never be called a GaN device by itself, because it's the silicon with a gallium nitride. It's a circuit. It's not a transistor, in my own personal opinion. Yeah, it's for Panasonic, it's a single device in a single package. So it's actually a transistor by itself. It's not a circuit. Yeah, because when you have silicon MOS on the bottom side with a GaN on top, you form a circuit. That's why it's called a Cascode, yeah.
Exactly. Well, that Howard, that's a very, very good point, because the Cascode is a workaround.
Yeah.
It's a circuit, as you point out.
Yeah.
Having the clean transistor has got to provide other advantages as well, I imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cascode's got issues in packaging, obviously, mm-hmm. and cost. But then what about actual direct performance?
Yeah, I would say it's easier to design with a single transistor device, because like in a Cascode connections, you actually cannot adjust the DVDT of the gallium nitride. Yeah. So for a single device, if you adjust the gate resistance in your power supply system, your driver design, you actually can change the DVDT of your switching transition. Yeah. So in terms of let's say power EMI issues, yeah, you actually can you have a better countermeasures by adjusting this gate resistance easily. That is to control the DVT easier in a single transistor device compared to a Cascode device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, what would you say are the primary application spaces that are going to benefit from your technology?
Of course, a gallium nitride transistor is a transistor. So the application is unlimited. Yeah. And if it is high frequency switching, low RDS on, you can do wonders with it. Yeah. So for Panasonic, we are looking into applications like server, electric vehicle, inverters for photovoltaics, yeah, base station applications. Yeah, that is this is what I start with. Yeah, there's plenty more. Yeah, even in space technology, yeah, there's you need this kind of a high reliability, very robust kind of a device that only gallium nitride can meet.
Yeah, so the gallium nitride, the one of the advantage, it is able to switch in very fast.
Yes, fast switching.
Yeah. So existing the silicon MOS, it may be the switching the 1K hertz or something, yeah, 100 kilohertz or something, but the gallium nitride able to switch in the megahertz range.
Megahertz range switching, yeah. that's impressive.
Yeah,
that's
so the megahertz range, what happened, yeah, so the transformer side can make it very small,
mm-hmm.
right?
Smaller transformers,
yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, and then also the gallium nitride, it is another, yeah, just how I say, the small RDS one. So the cooling system also can make it smaller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So finally, the customer to achieve the very small the power unit.
Well, that's a good point. You're saving on the thermal side, you're saving on the footprint side, you're saving on the component count side.
Yeah. So the people looking for the high power density, yeah. So the gallium nitride, it is, next generation the devices.
Mm-hmm.
So all the power advanced is very welcome to want to use this device now. Yeah.
But, excellent.
But I have some challenges, not beside of the gallium nitride of the magnetic design or something. Yeah.
Right. Because then of course it puts pressure on the rest of the design.
Yeah.
They have to be everything's got to be optimized, because if you're going to have that level of performance in your transistors, everything should be able to keep up with that level of performance.
Yep, that's right. I will add another point regarding the issues of, the level of understanding on the electronics engineers, power supply engineers on when they are trying to evaluate, find the best solutions of a gallium nitride device. As we mentioned earlier, another inherent, the characteristics of the GaN is the current collapse issue. And Panasonic is the first to be in the industry to actually achieve current collapse free up to more about 600 volts VDSS.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So, there's very little understanding in the industry about current collapse. Yeah. Because they didn't encounter this in silicon MOS. So it was not well taught to the people. Yeah. This was not well educated. But this is a very big issue in terms of product reliability, because you're going to use this power supply continuously, maybe days or night or yeah. So when you have this switching problem and these electrons that get stuck during at the drain side of the gallium nitride, and this stuck electron actually cause the current to be blocked, and in some way you increase the RDS on. So what happens is when you increase the RDS on, the transistor will get heated up because of the lower efficiency. Yeah, and as time continues with the switching, yeah, your device will generally just be destroyed, yeah, because it's too hot, yeah. So how Panasonic actually achieved this is we managed to reduce the this trapped electrons density through our novel crystallization process, and also we reduce these the because another cause for this trapped electrons is the high electric field at the drain side of the device. So what Panasonic did is we actually try to reduce this electric field at the drain side by adopting this gate injection transistor technology. Yeah.
Very nice. Now, Howard, I realize that's an ongoing issue, but how has the performance in these new semiconductors challenged your packaging designs?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Of course, one of the key issues of high-frequency switching is actually the parasitic inductance, of course.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and the current package of most power device, not only, the old silicon MOS is also a conventional TO220.
Which is a joke.
Yeah, so if you're switching at 1 megahertz, you have these long leads here, you have a big problem, yeah. So, of course, we try to come up with some new packages that is we try to remove the leads and shorter leads and so on. This is something that Panasonic realized that we need to do, and but if you look back, you talk about cascode again, they have another set of issue, because in a cascode you have many wires going around inside the package alone,
right?
So
it literally has an internal wire harness.
That's right. So for a single device, you will not have this problem. You just have to take care of the these long leads. And actually, that's something that you can do. I mean, I'm not saying that TO220 cannot be used or is no good, but it's still very useful package whereby you can do something with the PCB design to actually improvise your application.
Mm-hmm. Got you. So, well, you can work within the existing designs. But
that's right.
I have no doubts, though, that you'll have some new packaging coming on the horizon. So, are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with? Also, make sure that you give us the URL for your landing page. But any last thoughts for our audience?
Yeah, for Panasonic, as you know, like what Tom Higuchi just said earlier, it's a very new device. So Panasonic would like to continue to offer products training to the engineers to educate them about this device characteristics in their pre-development. And as the engineers transit to the next phase of their design, we will support them on the device design verification surrounding the GaN device. Yeah. And as what we mentioned earlier, Panasonic has a worldwide sales office. So we can offer our support,
both technical and supply chain, everything.
And our device is almost ready for MP. So if you're asking me I have advice on to choose for a wide band gap, of course, it's choosing Panasonic device. Because in terms of product reliability, delivery, everything, we are ready for the industry.
Howard, Tom, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Like I said, wide band gap semiconductors are in a lot of people's minds, and understanding some of the approaches and technologies that are available will help clarify the issue for quite a few of them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us today. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Paul Tom Power. Have a great day.